Well, it's that time of year again. If you've been around with us for a while, longer than I have, you know that this time of year is a time of year that Rich does his annual biography. For many of you, it's maybe an anniversary of sorts, but a biography of an influential Christian person, somebody who's changed the course of Christian history. And why today? Well, 499 years ago, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses. And so it's a great time for us to reflect and remember on those who went before us in the Christian faith. So this is my first opportunity to have the biography. For those of you who have been around, remember we did William Tyndale, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Amy Carmichael, last year Elizabeth Elliot, and many more. But I just wanted to make mention of it. Biographies are really helpful for us to learn from. There are many out in the church library. And I wanted to also take this time, as I did the first service, to thank Lance. He's not here now, but he helped put together the library that I have in my office. And sitting in there is the copy of this book, which is where I got most of my information from for this morning. But I have a library in there, too. If you would like to check out some books from there, just let me know. Thanks to all the guys who, I think there's some of here, who helped bring those heavy things up. But thank you. So biographies? Why are they important? Well, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's important to have examples in our faith, somebody to follow. The writer of Hebrews also said, remember your leaders and consider their outcomes, consider their way of life. So it's important for us to have a time to do biographies. And as we open our time this morning, we're going to be looking at a man named Dawson Trauma, but I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, as has been said, that we desire for this morning to be changed more and more into your likeness. And we pray that you would show us something of that, of more of your glory from this man, though he is yet a man with his own failures and setbacks and sins. Lord, you have redeemed him and have set before us a shining example of your glory in him. And I pray that in him we would see things that would call us to action today, guided by your word and in the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I was considering how I ought to introduce Dawson Trotman, realized there was no better way than to start at the end. You could get all the details of his birth and his upbringing and so on and so forth. Those are interesting, but Dawson Trotman was a man of action. So I'll start at the end. The year was 1956, 50 years ago, roughly, and a 50-year-old man named Dawson Trotman was sitting alongside of Schroon Lake in northeastern New York State on a hillside in a wooded area, as he had often done throughout his years of Christianity, early in the morning praying. In his hand was a copy of E.M. Bounds' book, Power Through Prayer. And he was using it as a guide for him to read a passage or a portion of that, a paragraph, and stop and pray and meditate and read and stop and pray and meditate. And he kept this pattern up for hours that morning. The reason he was at this particular site was it was a conference center for the Word of Life Conference Center. His good friend Jack hosted a conference for youth there, and he happened to be the keynote speaker at this conference. So he had all these responsibilities, but yet he took the time early that morning to get up and pray, to spend time with God. And Dawson was sitting there alongside the lake praying, and he was startled by his friend Jack, the host of the site. And Jack questioned, what are you doing, Dawes? Dawson, 30-year belief in Christ, habit of devoted prayer, a leader at this point of ministry and many other ministries, a leader of leaders, trembling, said, I need more of this. I need more prayer. We need more of this. And they began to have a good time of discussion and fellowship with one another about the things that they had seen God do and praying that he would continue to do more. Well, the reason Jack came out there was because Jack had wanted to take Dawson around the lake on a water skiing trip. And so they, after their time of fellowship and prayer, they went down to the dock, got in the boat. And Dawson, Even though he was 50 years old, he was a very energetic man. He, as I said, he got up early in the morning to pray every day, but he was high energy, go all the time. They think one of the reasons for this, he was born very early, 2.5 pounds when he was born, and they thought he had a heart condition, and so they were very concerned about this, but in fact, they came to find out that Dawson Trotman actually had more blood pumping to his brain than a normal person, so he was always thinking, always going, that's why he was kind of a high energetic, charismatic kind of person. But here's a 50-year-old Dawson Trotman, water skiing around the whole lake, he and his friend. They finish their lap, and they decide they would like to invite some of the other conferees to join them. And they pull up to the dock, and the whole load of kids get on, and they're water skiing. They have a great time, and Dawson, his charismatic nature, is just cheering them on and just celebrating a beautiful June day. They pull up, and they get another load of conferees. Two girls sit next to him, one on either side, and he looks at them and says, "Do you girls know how to swim?" And the one on the left says, "Yeah, Dawes, I know how to swim." And the one on the right said, "No, I don't know how to swim." Part of his charismatic nature, he got these people to do things maybe they probably shouldn't have been doing. But nevertheless, this young woman who could not swim was in the boat, locked arms with Dawson Trotman as they were whipping around water skiing. Well, as it happened, the boat hit the wake and launched this female who could not swim and Dawson into the lake. Female could not swim. Dawson Trotman, 50 years old, after spending his morning doing something he enjoyed, water skiing, held this woman up so that she could be saved while he himself drowned. Here's a picture of Dawson Trotman, a man who trusted God. You may recognize the guy on the left. That's Billy Graham. Weeks later, at Dawson Trotman's funeral, Billy Graham said that Dawson Trotman, had touched more lives for Christ than anyone he knew. This is Billy Graham. Billy Graham said that Dawson Trotman had touched more lives than he'd ever known, and that he died the way he lived, holding people up. He died the way he lived, holding people up. And Dawson's grave site, a place I got to visit, says one of my life verses, John 15:13, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." And that's part of the legacy of Dawson Trotman. But as I consider what things I could share with you that we can all learn, and that I have learned from spending again time reading Dawson's biography, there are three things that stand out to me. Dawson was a man of devoted prayer. He had a high, supremely high value for the Word of God, and that he had a vision for spiritual multiplication. So for those of you who are eager to hear the Word of God, in addition to this biography, we're going to spend some time in Scripture, so I encourage you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 33, and we'll be there in a minute. But I wanted to touch on how prayer was important to this man. Dawson Trotman started going to church about middle school. He, said a prayer, maybe was converted at that point. But prayer was a part of his life, even from his early years, his middle school years. Prayer to the point of, "God, forgive me for lying," or, "God, please don't let my lying get found out. God, please help me with the test." Kind of the more immediate concerns. Over time, as Dawson Trotman grew in his faith, prayer became much more of a concern, a daily habit. It became a man who would spend hours every morning in prayer and recruiting others to do the same. When he first became converted in a very serious manner, after maybe walking away from the Lord for a bit, Dawson Trotman's mom called up all of the neighbors who had been praying for him, and they said, "You'll never guess where Dawson is." This is when he was 20 years old or so. He is alone in the Palos Verdes Hills praying to God. He had developed this habit at a young age. It is said that his disciplined prayer life of his early 5 years of Christianity laid the foundations for his future ministry. But another way that prayer was important to him was that it was a guide, a directing source for him. He didn't want to do anything that he didn't pray about. In fact, he was involved with this woman, a very godly, upright woman, and by all human accounts, this would have been a great match, a great fit for him to be married to her, and they had been dating for some time. And Dawson realized, okay, I need to ask her the question. And so he met up with her and said to this lady, I have a question for you. And immediately after saying that phrase, I have a question for you, he realized he had not yet prayed about this question. So he shot up a prayer, and he never asked the question. God revealed to him that this is not the direction for you. He never asked the question. He ended his relationship with this woman and became involved and related to this woman who he was married to and had five beautiful children and was a prayer warrior and ministry partner with him, as this woman may not have been able to be. But prayer was a foundation to his life. He was a frequent journaler, and he often wrote about his times of prayer. Here's one that I'd like to share with you. He said, I had a truly blessed time alone with the Lord early this morning. Again, have I had the matter of prayer brought definitely to my attention as being vitally connected with accomplishing much business for God. I set my face again to pursue and persevere in habits of much time with Him. Truly, our most difficult work, as refreshing and wonderful as it is, prayer. You see, Dawson saw prayer as a guide, as a way not to manipulate God, but as a way for God to shape him, to change him, just to spend time with him. Yet it was a difficult matter. I mentioned that we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 33, and I got to get there, so pay attention here as I read Jeremiah 33, verse 3. This verse was foundational to Dawson Trotman's understanding of prayer. It says, call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things you have not known. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and hidden things you have not known. Dawson Trotman used this promise as a way to constantly engage with God. He could cry out to God at any time, call to God at any time, and he would was assured that he would have an answer because of this promise in Scripture. I will tell you, Dawson knew. So seeing opportunities to Dawson was seeing prayer requests. Over Dawson's course of ministry, he was able to engage with helping launch Campus Crusade and helping start Missionary Aviation Fellowship and many other ministries, Billy Graham Crusades. He was vitally involved with all of those things. But before he engaged in any of those, he always sought prayer. Lord, should this be something that I ought to get involved in? He was already involved in leading youth groups and doing other discipleship with men who were in the Navy, many different works that he already had in addition to his full-time job. Dawson saw opportunities as a way to engage in God. He also saw finances as a way to trust the Lord. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things if you have not known. If there was an opportunity that Dawson knew he had to take, yet he didn't have the funds, he would simply trust God for it. God had wanted him to do that, if that was the great and hidden thing that God had revealed to him, he ought to do it. One such opportunity came later in his ministry when he was able to fly down to South America to help encourage their discipleship patterns and ministry there. It was going to cost him $3,100 to make this trip. And he found out about this trip in the middle of a Billy Graham crusade where he was helping doing follow-up at the Billy Graham crusade. And Dawson Trotman had $0 in the bank account to go to this trip, but he knew he had to go, so he accepted. They had to leave on Monday morning. The flight was leaving on Monday morning, and so he had to come up with $3,100 in the meantime. And how did he do that? Well, as I said, he was at the Billy Graham Crusade. Billy Graham did something that they said he had never done before. After Billy Graham gave his speech, he came up again and said, we're going to take a special offering. I'd like to introduce you to my friend Dawson Trotman. Dawson Trotman came up and shared what he was about to do and the passion and vision that the Lord had laid on his heart. And for hours, people were coming up to him, donating small coins and bills. They said that for the first hour or so, it was mostly just young people wanting to get an autograph. But in the end, he totaled and he had $2,800. Wow, God raised up $2,800 for him to go on this trip all in one night. And Dawson needed $3,100, right? So he goes to bed that night, prayerfully considering and knowing, I'm still going to go on this trip, and Lord, I need you to provide the $300 more that's needed for me to go on the trip. He wakes up the next morning and goes to the breakfast center at the conference and at the Billy Graham Crusade there. And a group of people come up to him and they tell him, Dawson, we wanted to give you a gift, but there were so many people, we didn't have time to make it, to give you this gift. Here's $300 for your trip. God provided in many ways. And Dawson trusted that God was able to make all grace abound for you for every good work. And that at any time he could call on God, he didn't have to travail or work to get to God. He could call on him at any time, and the Lord would reveal and guide him. And that was Dawson's emphasis on prayer. It guided his ministry. The next is the Word of God. The Word of God truly shaped this man, starting at his perhaps a second conversion, if you will. As I said, Dawson grew up in the faith and maybe placed his said a prayer early on in his ministry and was involved. There was a time when he walked away, but he came engaged again with like a Bible quizzing ministry at the church that they were doing. He was learning to memorize scripture as a contest, as a competition. He had a goal of memorizing a verse a day. And Dawson, the fierce competitor and blood flowing to his brain so fast kind of guy he was, he was committed to that, disciplined to that, memorizing a verse every day. But two of the verses that he had memorized early on in this season of life was John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. And the second is John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And now, as I said, Dawson Trotman was a common man. He was working in a lumber yard and remembering these verses. And the Holy Spirit brought them upon him. And he was considering and meditating on what does it mean that he has eternal life, has eternal life. And immediately, the Holy Spirit brought to him the second verse that he had memorized, John 1:12. To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And at that time, he said, Lord, I don't know what it means to receive Christ, but whatever it is, I want to do that now in prayer. He confessed that to the Lord. So memorizing scripture was a key influence not only to his own life, but also his ministry. You see, Dawes said that every verse of scripture is like an arrow pointed at somebody's heart. Not just for his own heart, but perhaps it is the Lord who needs to use you to speak his word to somebody else. And so scripture memory was foundational to his discipleship and follow-up, so much so that it was often involved, scripture memory in the specific verses that he would use would often be involved in the follow-up and discipleship of other ministries. But that's what Dawson Trotman was looking for, men and women who could memorize and would memorize, be disciplined to memorize Scripture, because he knew that that was how God would guide people. It is said that he was committed to prayer. Well, after a 40-day prayer retreat that Dawson did one time, they were praying for 2 million people to come to Christ. 2 million people to come to Christ. And after their 40-day prayer retreat, they got out a map and started putting on a map pins of everybody they knew who had 500 verses or more memorized, because they knew that God can use these people as arrows of his word to send into the lives of these 2 million people. But that's how his ministry moved on. As I mentioned, though, before, he used the word of God as very personal, as very specific promises directed to him. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, Dawson saw God's word as something that was given specifically to him. A favorite of his was the book of Isaiah. He had many foundational promises from the book of Isaiah that he would often claim in early mornings of prayer, trusting in God for their fulfillment. And somebody asked him, well, why are you going back to Isaiah, Dawson? And here's what he said. He said, some say the book of Isaiah is for Jews. Well, it's full of promises. And as I looked around, I didn't see the Jews claiming them. So somebody should be using them. Dawson Trauman wanted to see the promises of God come to life. Every verse of Scripture is something that God was going to do. There was no way that he was not going to be able to do it. If he said it, he could do it. And that was Dawson Trotman's faith. As I said, he took this word very personal. His translation he used to memorize Scripture was the King James translation. Unfortunately, as navigators over time saw that was coming out of favor, they developed a very personal translation of the Bible called the Message, which is basically a commentary. And so the personality of the Scriptures in Dawson Trotman's mind led, I think, to writing this basically was a commentary, but they're claiming that it is the Word of God. Unfortunately, I don't think that's necessarily the Word of God. It's more of a commentary, but it's a way for people to personally engage with the Scriptures, and that's what Dawson Trotman wanted. He was a modern-day reformer. I say a modern-day reformer because, as I mentioned, Luther, the reformers specifically wanted the Bible to get in the hands of everybody, not just the hierarchies. It was about getting the Bible into the hands of everybody. I mentioned that Dawson had opportunities to speak and preach all over the world. One of his opportunities was being basically an adjunct professor for a seminary. So he was teaching future pastors about what the vision of discipleship, according to God's word and scripture memory and praying, were all about. Here's what one of the seminary students says. He said, Dawes was in tune with one of the greatest movements of the spirit of our time, re-emergence of the place and purpose of the dedicated layman, putting the Bible in the hand and heart and mind of the individual. You see, it is to be personal. The Bible is to be something that we have, that we can hold on to, that we can cling to, that we can claim, that we can trust in. One of the many things that Dawson Trotman was known for is simple illustrations. We have the bridge illustration. Many people have come to faith because of a simple illustration. The wheel illustration is another popular illustration that Dawson Trotman came up with. Here's a simple one that he came up with that I wanted to share with you. It's a hand illustration. If you can remember your hand, you can remember how you can get the Bible into your life. It's that simple. So you start with your pinky. Hearing the word of God. If you are hearing the word of God, it is speaking to you. You're taking it in. Hearing the word of God. That happens on Sunday morning when we sing, when we listen to Christian music on the radio. We're hearing the word of God oftentimes. Hearing is vitally important to our growth and development as we take in the Bible. The second would be reading. Just spending time reading from front to back, understanding the big story of what God is doing. Are you reading the Bible? The third would be study. That's a little bit more involved than just reading the Bible, but it's studying it, understanding the context, understanding the references, understanding who is writing and what exactly they're trying to say, discerning exactly what their words are meaning. Studying the Bible is a way that we can take it in. Fourth is memorizing Scripture. If we can simply memorize Scripture, it can be on our heart at all times, and we can constantly feed on it and take it in. If we're memorizing Scripture, it's a way it comes into us. And so those are the four main ways that we can take in the Scripture. But the fifth, Dawson Trotman realized, was that if we're doing all four of these things, but if we're not doing the last, we don't have a real good grasp on the Bible. So the thumb... of taking the Bible into your life is meditating on it. You can hear the Bible all day, read it all day, study it, and even memorize it, but if you're not meditating on it, if you're not allowing it to come to your mind, if you're not prayerfully considering it. Here's what happens if you don't meditate on the scripture. Do you have a hold of it? No. You don't have a hold of God's word. And God's word is personal. It's for you. A simple illustration, if you can remember your hand, you can remember how you can take the Bible into your life. So those are the first two principles, the prayer and the word of God. The last principle is the principle of spiritual multiplication. If you've been around here for a while, you've probably seen this diagram. This is Grace Church's discipleship model. There's four stages of spiritual growth. The first is connect, second, grow, third, equip, and then multiply. We've seen that in Scripture, Jesus has a pattern of developing disciples. First, he connected with them, then he helped them grow, later equipped them, and finally brought them to maturity where they could then themselves multiply. And that's the pattern that we see in Scripture of what discipleship looks like. So we have seen this, and Dawson Trotman was known for making disciples. It's even said that if you use the word disciple as a verb instead of a noun, it's because of Dawson Trotman. So oftentimes we think of somebody who is a disciple, but because of Dawson Trotman's influence on creating discipleship programs and discipling men and women, because of that, when we say disciple someone as a verb, it's because of Dawson Trotman. Excuse me, here's a few stories of how Dawson Trotman came to this conclusion. The first is with a man named Les Spencer. I mentioned that Dawson Trotman had ministry to men in the Navy, sailors. That's where his main hub of ministry started, on the Pacific coast. Well, one of the first men that Dawson Trotman invited into his home as the ship was docked, and Dawson came out to meet him, was a man named Les Spencer. So he was a young man, but wanted to grow in Christ, and so Dawson invited to his home, shared a meal with him, but taught him how to pray and how to read Scripture and memorize Scripture and how to evangelize, how to share his faith, and then sent him back onto the ship when they had to go out and encouraged him to witness and engage in faith conversations with the other men on the ship. And they had this relationship developing for a while. And over time, Les Spencer meets a man named Gurney Harris. Gurney Harris was a young man who joined the Army just to save up so he could go to seminary. And Gurney Harris and Les Spencer begin talking about the faith and understanding what they could do to grow in the faith. And Gurney was being excited about the things that Les Spencer was sharing. And so Les came back to Dawson Trotman and said, "Hey, Dawes, I have a guy here who I think would love to come to your house and meet with him. Can he come along?" And Dawson said, "Well, sure, of course, that would be great. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to get him started for me." And Les Spencer said, "Well, I don't have any training. I'm not a seminary student. And there's no way to set this up well enough. But this, I think, is perhaps one of the best quotes in the whole book and in anything that I've heard from Dawson Trotman. Here's what he said to Les Spencer. He said, "Les, if you can't teach him what I taught you, then I've failed." Let me say it again. "If you can't teach him what I taught you, then I've failed." See, Dawson Trotman understood that spiritual multiplication was a deep-rooted principle that he needed to live out. Another story I want to share is, as Dawson Trotman convicted his life and committed his life to discipleship and discipline, one of his ministry outreaches was to every day share the gospel with somebody. Every day. That was a commitment that he had made. I shared the story at our lead last time. So I share it again, though, for those of you who were there. It's a great story, I think. Dawson Trotman committed himself to sharing the gospel every day with one person. Oftentimes, he would wake up in the middle of the night realizing that he had not yet shared the gospel with somebody, would run out until he found somebody just to share the gospel with him. He would often pick up hitchhikers just so he could give them the tracks that he had in his car. and share the gospel with them, because they had to sit there listening to him. So one such experience came as a young man got into his vehicle and took the Lord's name in vain. And Austin said, oh, here we go. Reached down and grabbed the tract to give to the guy. And the guy looks at the tract and looks at Dawson. And Dawson Trauman looks back at him, come to realize that 1 year prior, Dawson had given him the same tract and had converted him to Jesus. Yet here was this man who had took the Lord's name in vain, had taken no spiritual steps of growth at all. And Dawson Trotman realized at that point that every baby in Christ needs a parent to mature them along, to walk them along in the faith. You know, spiritual multiplication is not easy. It's difficult. It's slow. But I'd like to share an illustration, if I could. To start this illustration, I wonder how many of you have ever heard of the wheat or the rice in the checkerboard or the chessboard illustration. Anybody who's not my wife. this illustration started, they say, perhaps in India. It's an old fable, old story, where a slave did something to help the king, and the king, you know, wanted to just repay him and bless him in any way he could. And so the servant said, well, I want you to give me one piece of rice, one grain of rice, and then double it. Give me two pieces of rice on the next square of the checkerboard, and then double it again on the third one, so I would have four, and double it, and so on and so on. I want you to do that for me. Give me that many pieces of grain for the whole checkerboard. How many pieces of grain do you think he would have? You've heard, huh? One grain of rice doubled on every square of a checkerboard or chessboard would cover the whole world several inches. Wow. Okay, let's take it a little bit more personal. We can start looking at numbers maybe when we start talking about money, right? Well, Tuesday starts a new month. There are 30 days in the month of November. Let's say you go to your employer and you say, I'm going to work every day this month. 30 days, and you can either pay me $1,000 a day, or you can pay me a penny the first day and double it every day. So the next day I would get 2 pennies and 4 pennies and so on and so forth. At the end of the month, hopefully your boss doesn't have his calculator so he can't figure it out, you'd either end up with $30,000 or $5.3 million. That's a lot of money, huh? You could do with a lot with that, probably quit your job, right? What about people? What's our vision for reaching people? Do we just want to reach Viroqua? Do we just want to reach the valley in the area here? Do we want to reach Wisconsin? Maybe that's a good goal. Maybe we want to, let's reach the United States. What about the world? Do we want to reach the whole world? Well, let's say we want to reach the whole world. You think we would get there? Let's say we want to reach the world by reaching 17,000 people a year. That's a lot of people, right? 17,000 people a year. That's about 330 people every week. So we would go to communities all over the world every week, doing evangelism meetings, setting up tents, a lot of work, right? And maybe then, maybe we could reach 17,000 people every year. If we did that for 34 years, some of us might be around long enough to do that, for 34 years, we would have 578,000 people. You know what? That happens to be exactly the same size as the Madison metro area. How small is that? Madison metro area. If we reached 17,000 people every year, we could only reach Madison. Is that your vision, or do you have a bigger vision? Do you want to reach more people? What if we did it a multiplication way? What if We followed the discipleship circle through and saw ourselves multiplying our lives. So what that means is that I take somebody for one person for 1 year, and I help them learn how to pray like Dawson prayed and dedicated himself to that. Learn how to memorize Scripture and read Scripture and dedicate themselves to Scripture and to sharing their faith with somebody else. One person, if I did that with one person for 1 year, and then the next year, each of us did that again, so there would be two more people, and then 4 and 8 and 16 and so on and so forth. What if we did that for 34 years? One person. If each of us started with one person, we could reach more than the whole world. 8.5 trillion people, there are not even that many people on the earth. Maybe if we start reaching them, they'll be fruitful and multiply. Maybe then there'll be that many, but one person this year. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew 28. As you're turning there, I first want to consider that those of you who may be here and have not yet understood the saving grace of Jesus, consider again the words in John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, you will not be condemned. You have crossed from death to life. It's done. You have crossed from death to life. If you believe in Jesus, it's done. But how much do we believe in Jesus? Here's what Jesus' last words were. He says, Matthew 28:18-20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, Dawson Trotman realized that there are many people who have the gospel, but they don't get the second part. They don't get that we are called to teach them to observe everything, all that Jesus has commanded, including his very last commandment, make disciples, is your commandment and my commandment. It's our commandment. It's not just for Matthew or the disciples or for the early church. It's for you. Several months ago, a good friend of mine, Pastor Lee Hayward, was here, and he spoke to us, reminding us and calling us out not to sit on the sidelines. I challenge you all not to sit on the sidelines. This is your calling. This is your word. It's personal to you. And I have one final question. Dawson Trotman would often ask this of people after he had asked them about their relationship with the Lord and if they were spending time in the Word. His next question would be, where is your man? Where is your woman? Who is it? One person this year. One person this year. Who is it? Who is your man? Would you pray with me? Lord, we come before you and ask that you would strengthen us, that you would guide us according to your word, that you would encourage us as we call to you and ask for wisdom. I pray that you would help each of us to see, to know, maybe even right now, Lord, you could place on our heart, in our mind, in our awareness, Jesus, of who the one person is that you want us to reach this year, that we can pray for them, reach out to them. Maybe it's somebody we don't even know yet. Maybe it's somebody we know we haven't talked to in a long time. But Lord, we desire, our vision is to make disciples of all nations, to see the whole world come under your kingship and rulership. We acknowledge, Lord, that multiplication is not easy. but would you strengthen us for the task at hand? Because all authority is from you, God. In your name, amen.